Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
This is already fun. I'm talking to this guy pre-show. It feels like we're already doing the show, so I'm excited for this. Today on Open Loops, we have Antonio Perez. This is a guy I've been very curious about for a long time, just because he's been around the hypnosis web. That's totally not a term, but yes, it is. For now, it is. It is. He's been around the internet of hypnosis, and I've seen him pop up here and there. But what he's zoned in on right now is a topic near and dear to the show, which is conspiracy theories. Antonio was a former conspiracy theorist, and he has a book that's come out came out last year called Converting Conspiracy Theorists, which actually, if you read this book, you will have, people say it's impossible to break through the brainwashing, and we're going to get into this, but you will have techniques and approaches to at least start the progression, at least start the change for something that often seems like you're not able to affect in others. So, I mean, he got himself out of it. He seems to be on a mission to wake other people up out of conspiracies and tell people how to wake people up. So I'm very intrigued by it. And we'll get into some of the subtleties there as well. Antonio, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. And so am I a conspiracy theorist now? You said I'm a former conspiracy. No. How did you say it?
I said you were a former conspiracy theorist, right?
Oh, I was going to try making a joke because I think I heard it wrong. I think I heard it wrong. Like,
what was the joke?
I was going to try. Okay,
let me give you the setup. What should the setup have been?
I don't even remember. I got out of work a little while ago. So I can always listen to the intro later and then we can paste the joke in later.
sure. Antonio's a very entertaining guy. Very, very, very wicked sense of humor is a good way to put it.
When you read the book, there's a really well-timed Matt Gaetz joke in there.
Oh my gosh, I'm very curious to see who gets that in 15 years. Though, you know what? Take advantage of the timing now, dude. Be topical. That's the move. Yes. So, my friend, look, let me start with this. Hypnosis product reviews. You're the guy, aren't you?
Yeah. I actually took that website down mainly because it got to the point where I was offering, I was telling people, like, hey, jump on the newsletter, you'll get free stuff, free, free, free. And then when I tried to pitch stuff on, like, affiliate stuff, people were like, ew, because I was giving away so much free.
Yeah.
I didn't. So people were pulling the pitchforks, and I got burned out on it. That was really fun.
Yeah, man, I almost want to thank you a little bit because, and that's, a, I mean, it, you know, I guess this might surprise you a little bit, but in 2013, when I really started doubling down on what I understood about hypnosis and wanted to really dig into it more, especially when it came to rapid inductions and stuff like that, I wanted to do the street stuff. I love Darren Brown. I could do progressive relaxation, but the fact that other people were doing this quick hit sleep, boom, they're out stuff, it was amazing to me.
Boom, give me your wallet. It's yes. Really flashy stuff.
Yeah, man. I wanted to learn it all. And you were a resource out there that was going. I actually was sitting there going like, oh, this guy figured it out. He can just review the products and then get sent products for free, maybe.
Exactly.
Yes. But you were doing it. And I read those reviews, man. I watched the interviews. Like you helped me in my journey.
Thank you. You're welcome, I guess. Thank you. And you're welcome. I thought I was going to make way more money. That I probably made $1,000. I mean, that's maybe from, I think most of the affiliate money I made was from Hypnosis Downloads, which is a really good company. And, but the thing is, like, if you look at all these books on my bookshelf, hypnotists were notorious for buying stuff and going, ooh, shiny, put it back on the shelf. Ooh, yes. Shiny, put it back on the shelf. We just have hard drives and hard drives of junk.
Yes, yes. Whereas, yeah, man, like, it's like Nathan Thomas's course, Reg Blackwood. What happened to these guys? Look, I know Nathan, some people moved out of it, but like I remember Nathan, all the names.
You mean Nathan Thomas that talks like this? Yeah, Nathan, yeah. Yeah. A little soft-spoken. I don't know. I never got a chance to interview. I interviewed him once. I know he... The last thing I think I saw he did something with James Tripp.
And yeah, no, I think he moved out of hypnosis. Like, I think he became a travel blogger maybe for a little bit and then, of course, got into money. Just figured he could make more money doing business services online is what I think. I don't know.
You remember Leo Gopal?
No, who's that?
He was Leo, L-E-O-G-O-P-A-L. I think he's in East Indian maybe. From South Africa. He was I know he was big around that time. It was Leo Gopal, Keys to the Mind.
Yeah,
there's a lot of, and
I mean, it is also the beginning of, you know, where Hypnosis Training Academy didn't quite know what their audience was. So you have Igor Ledahofsky and, oh man, we're naming names already, but you know what, it's not bad. No, this isn't bad. These guys are publicly out there. Hypnosis Training Academy, great resource for people. Arguably, I've learned from them, but back then they were leaning very into like the dark side of hypnosis, covert hypnosis. You can break laws and all this.
I was at a training on the Queen Mary boat with Igor Ledahofsky, and there were some weirdos. I mean, I know I'm weird to a degree, but there were some. You know, there's a difference between good weirdo and bad weirdo.
What's the difference?
D&D, good weirdo. Incel, bad weirdo.
What percentage of the hypnosis community is incels?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm probably going to piss off a lot of poor people. I think a lot of the pickup is full of...
It's the pickup artist scene is definitely kind of where it overlaps. Yeah, man. But you got guys like Steve Pickus, dude, that would never call himself a pickup artist, but he's kind of a renowned... hypnotist, if not a sex tantric sex practitioner.
I can hear his voice right now. I haven't seen anything from him in forever.
Yeah, I wonder how he's doing. I don't know. I've never met the guy, but he's kind of just a legendary guy.
Well, you know, one guy, you remember Mark Cunningham?
Yeah.
So I'm originally from Michigan. He's from, so quick story, I don't want to go too long, but he's from Adrian, Michigan, really small part of Michigan, real redneck town. My dad's also from there. I'd always wanted to train with him, but I guess I didn't get my act together before I moved out here. I moved to Kauai from Michigan 16 years ago. So back in maybe 2015, I had the Meta Program book from, I think her name is Shelly Rose Charvet. I forget how.
Yeah, Charlotte Rose Cravant. Is that the one about words change minds?
Yep. Words that change.
Yeah.
I can see the book is, that'll take me too long to look at. Anyhow, I'm sitting in this book. I'm in this activity kiosk. I see this guy walking from. I'm like, oh, he looks familiar. I look up. I'm like, Mark Cunningham just had me walking by. He's on vacation. I'm like, Mark. And he looks at me. I'm like, Mark. I'm like, it's Antonio. We're friends on Facebook. He's like, small world,
dude. Yeah, that is kind of the thing. I mean, these are like, you know, I have the magician background, and seeing a magician that you know is already lame, but like recognizing a hypnotist teacher is, it, yeah, that is, you know, it's interesting.
That's why when people, I love these hypnotists, like, I'm world famous. I'm like, yeah, in a very small community.
Yeah,
you know,
dude.
You know Scott Sandlin?
Oh yeah, the Hypnothoughts.
We were at conference when you're Hypnothoughts, and him and I were talking about the whole idea of a world famous hypnotist. He's like, dude, he's like, we're at an airport, nobody's gonna know who we are.
Yes,
it's a very small community.
Yes, I love that we said before we weren't gonna name names, and that's all this interview has been so far. You know what though, that's fine.
Scott is very humble.
Nah, man, I mean, I've never, isn't it crazy, I have never been to a Hypnothoughts. And if anybody is out there that wants to help get me there at a reduced rate, I mean, I'd go. But, well, you know,
if you present, it's I think it's free if you present.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I just found that out last year. I finally presented. You know, let me tell you how my talk started.
Yeah, what'd you talk about?
About conspiracy theories. I talked about in the book. I talk about something called the FAME model, FAME. So I, at the talk, it's a little nervous, and I start the talk. I'm like, who here by show of hands knows a conspiracy theorist? Now by show of hands, who doesn't know a conspiracy theorist? Now by show of hands, who is sent by the Illuminati to take me out today? And my girlfriend, she had a laser pointer, and she hit my chest and then hit me in the forehead.
Oh, that's brilliant. Bro,
got everybody cracking up. And that, at least I was able to, that made it way more comfortable.
Yeah, that's good. That's good bit, man. This is what I was talking about. That hypnotist presentation should be entertaining, absorbing, interesting. Yes.
It'd be funny.
Yeah, man. There's so many boring hypnotists out there. So many boring hypnotherapists. Like, you know, it's as close to a superpower as you're going to get. I don't know. But yeah, at the very least, like, be interesting.
Don't bore somebody to death.
Yeah. I guess you could argue that, you know, medically and therapeutically, it's not supposed to be about that. But you're still getting people to want to listen to your words in a therapy session. Therapists shouldn't be boring. Yeah, I don't know. That's my big complaint out there, hypnotists. But that said, yeah, man, you're doing the hypnosis product reviews. I mean, I saw you for a while doing stuff, and I was always curious, like, where does this guy fit in the hypnosis sphere? He's a curator of content. You seem to be actively participating in different kind of, you know, hypnosis groups and forums, and I saw your name pop up a lot. But meanwhile, was this the period of time where you were deep into conspiracies too?
No. So, let me.
Yeah. What's the timeline like on that?
Pull up a seat. So
I'm here.
So originally got pulled into conspiracy theories. I want to say 2001, a few months after 9/11. I remember this relationship went sideways. It wasn't much of a relationship. It just didn't really turn out that well. So of course I was depressed, and I was at a bar. I think I was actually sober. I would still go to the bar just to like hang out with people.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, this is a warning sign. This old white guy sits next to me. It's kind of a redneck bar. He's got a denim jacket. God, I can see him in my mind. Grayish hair, got a denim jacket. He's got a pocket constitution in his pocket. That, if you ever see anybody with a pocket constitution, turn around, go the opposite way. Nothing good is going to come of that conversation.
Wow.
It's just... yeah, nothing good's gonna come out of it. And it was really funny. And then he asked me, somehow I don't know if we were talking about, if I talk about, I don't know what we were talking about, then he asked me, he's like, hey, do you know who Alex Jones is? Like, no, who's that? That's what, that was my fire hose moment where the fire hose got
pinned open. Oh, man.
Just filled me up with all kind of knowledge about the Illuminati, Skull and Crossbones, Alex Jones. So that kind of ties into the idea in the book. I talk about the fame model, what I think keeps, what I think traps conspiracy theorists. Fame model is F-A-M-E. I may or may not have used ChatGPT to help me flush out that that title. F stands for feeling powerless. A lot of conspiracy theorists, they feel powerless. They feel like they feel powerless, but at the same time, they want to feel like they're the hero. They want to feel like they're the ones who have the secret knowledge to save everybody. A is apophenia. That's the idea of connecting the dots. Apophenia, I think, is a scientific name for the idea of connecting the dots between unrelated events.
Yeah.
Unrelated stories. M is misinformation because it's freaking everywhere. And then E, I think the biggest one, is external locus of control. You know what locus of control is?
I couldn't explain it with in an articulate manner that you're about to. So go ahead, tell us.
The most articulate manner is who's driving the car?
Yeah.
Are you driving or are you a passenger?
Right.
I've heard James Tripp, I think, mentioned it. Instead of calling it locus of control, locus of power. Is your power on the, are you giving your power to the outside world, or right, are you sitting in your own power?
That makes sense.
So when that guy, the Pocket Constitution guy, explained to me about the Illuminati, Skull and Crossbones, at this time I'd already been depressed for years, had like bad, I was clinically diagnosed bipolar years ago. Knowing about these outside boogeymen, I'm like, oh, that explains why I'm depressed.
Right.
It's not because of any of the things I'm doing on the inside, not because of any of the patterns I'm causing, any of the beliefs. It's the outside world that's making me miserable.
Gotcha.
It basically took me off the hook. Like, hey, you're not miserable because of unchecked mental health issues. It's the outside world.
Yes. So you were fire hosed.
Yeah,
with information.
I was fire hosed with information, and I thought, like, oh my god, I have it. So from that point, I dove deep into conspiracy theories, and it's embarrassing to say. I remember I've been trying to find this website. It was it's a very plain website. I mean, if I were to look at it now, going, oh Jesus Christ, that's anti-Semitic garbage. But it was something about I fell into that stuff. If you know what it is. In the book, I forget what chapter I talk about that. If somebody had come up to me and be like, the Jews run the world, they do blood libel, you know, they kill babies, I'd have been like, dude, that's freaking crazy. But when you gradually get something into a more, like, how do I say it? If you get something into a more plausible theory, the idea of a false flag is more plausible than an entire group of people killing babies running the planet, if that makes sense. It's
right,
it's on level of plausibility. And I think we all, I know there's some, I think his name is it Mick West, writes about conspiracy theories. I think it's him that talks about, I think there's like a line of what's too far for us.
When
I was at we used to do conspiracy theory brew and view at a bar I worked at in Detroit, so we would basically do what you don't do at a bar. We talk politics, and we talk sometimes religion, but we'd have people come in, we start giving out tinfoil, so we'd all make tinfoil hats. We tried to make fun of ourselves, but hey, look, I'm not one of those crazy ones. Look, I can make fun of myself. But when people would ask me about like the reptilian agenda, of course I know that. I'm like, duh, of course, that's fake. You still had
what I was saying it before, nuances within being a conspiracy theorist, even.
Yeah, and I did that just, I think everybody has a specific line. And I think another line I had was Sandy Hook. I never really fell into that. I think by that time I was already falling out of conspiracy theories. So 2008 I was already falling out of them. But when I heard about, and I started seeing Alex Jones afterwards, I'm like, God, this guy's an asshole. Did I ever tell you I ran into him?
No, isn't there a no. What's the story there?
So, actually, I'll jump to that story first. I'll go there first in a second. I'll tell you what really kind of started pulling me out of conspiracy theories.
Okay.
Was my experience with martial law in Detroit. So 2007, I think it was. I for about a year, I've been going to a computer school. The bus would, if anybody's familiar with Michigan, the bus would come down Rosa. And they would come down Rosa Parks, and then it would turn towards the highway. Right when it was getting, it would come down towards Michigan Avenue. Before it got to Michigan Avenue, it would turn towards the highway. Did this day in and day out for a better part of a year. But as hypnotists, we know that if a pattern changes it, we notice it right away. So the picture of this bus is coming down. Instead of turning towards the highway, it just keeps on going. Goes like, I think it was like two more blocks, a block or two more blocks. So I'm thinking like, what the hell is happening? Bus turns onto Michigan Avenue. Next thing I know, I could hear like the air brakes. Like, the bus stops. I'm like freaking out. Like, what the frick is happening? I could hear this. I wish I had a dollar bill so I could make like a thumping sound. I heard like a thump, 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 thump. And I'm thinking like, what the hell? I look out, got my face pressed against the window, and I see two black helicopters kind of descending over the buildings. At this point, I know your eyes are lighting up. I'm like, holy shit, what's happening?
Yeah.
Not that I ever bought into the men in black, but I'm like, oh my God, what the hell's
happening? It really feels like it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I'm getting like really scared. I'm like, okay, what's happening? And about a block away, I see it looks like a bomb had gone off in the city. Looks like car had blown up. There's like rows of fully armed guards holding fully armed automatics. So I'm thinking like, and these don't look like anything like U.S. Soldiers, like our military looks like almost like foreign military. Everybody's worried that UN's gonna come and take everything over, blah blah blah. So at this point I'm like fully into this, and I'm thinking like, who the hell is this? I get off the bus, and I'm getting ready to hightail. I remember thinking like, I need to get home, gotta warn my Patriot friends on MySpace. This is MySpace day. So I'm getting ready as I'm walking down Michigan Avenue off the distance. I'm walking up to the train station. It's an abandoned train station. I see this guy about a block away. The best way to describe him, he looks like a scrotum stretched over a skeleton with two eyes bulging out. And keep that in your mind. I'm like, oh my God, how do I know this guy? His eyes are kind of sagging. I'm like, I'm getting ready. It's spooking me out. It almost looks like one of Van Gogh's pictures, I guess, with that kind of sunken in face. I'm like, holy
shit. Yeah. Very scrotal, that Van Gogh. Yes. You're right.
Very scrotal. And I'm getting ready to run past the guy. As I'm getting closer, I'm okay, game plan. And I can see him looking at me. I'm like, how the hell am I going to get past him? I'm getting ready. As I approach him, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get right next to him. I'm going to hightail. I'm going to run to my parents. I'm going to warn everybody because I want to be the hero, obviously. As I'm getting up to him, like, okay, cool, like 5 feet away, I'm getting ready just to bolt. I get right next to him. I look over. I'm thinking, like, what the fuck is the actor Steve Buscemi here?
Yeah.
Quiet on the set. Yeah, I walked onto the set of The Island.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, at that point, I mean, it's funny saying that now, but it's hard to even think, like, how did I get fooled? Confirmation bias. All those little psychological factors kind of work up.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, Jason Lynette was doing this. About 2 years ago, he was doing this thing called Do Hypnosis Online. This was, this makes sense in a second. His class was a way to do hypnosis online, but at least how to market it, to market it to people of why you're going to do hypnosis online. His whole thing was, hey, you need to have a story about why you want to do hypnosis online. My story was, I was going to go into the full thing just saying that I thought martial law was happening. Oh, just kidding. I'm walking on a movie set. My thing was going to be about like helping people with anxiety. And then literally like 3 days after, Richard Barker.
Yeah.
Richard Barker. He was, doing entertainment on a cruise ship out here. So I hung out with him. And one day we went down, we did a hike. I remember we did a hike, and then I had to work. So I I gave my girlfriend's car. I'm like, hey, like, just go cruise at the beach. I'll be done in a couple hours. We'll go out to dinner. So we go up to this. Well, so when we're doing the hike, we were talking about how a lot of hypnotists, and I think, I know we're not naming names, but I already named names. Whoops. I was mainly talking about how a lot of hypnotists like believe like wacky conspiracy theories, and people believe Alex Jones, and we mentioned Alex Jones, and then I go to work a couple hours later. Here's my girlfriend's car. He picks me up. We go out to this restaurant, Duke's. It's like 5 minutes from the airport. We're sitting down, and then I look in. I see this guy walking by. I'm like, holy shit, it's Alex Jones. I swear to God. I'm like, generally, I'm probably going to disappoint some people. I don't believe in the law of attraction, but the one time I manifest something, I manifest Alex Jones. It was not.
Yeah. Further proof that there is the law of attraction, I would say.
I'm like, why am I attracting him? But the funny, I remember when I saw Alex Jones, like, oh my God, let me get a picture. I've always wanted to be able to see him and just speak my mind. And because he's just, they're taking advantage of people that are just mentally not good. And I wanted to speak my mind. Well, first I'm like, Alex, let me get a picture. And then as soon as Richard takes a picture, I'm like, oh shit, I can't share this on Facebook. I'm going to look like an asshole. And then I got a video of me basically calling Alex Jones out, which I'm so bummed because with Jason Lent doing that class, if I had been outside the restaurant, I saw Alex Jones, I might've had enough time to think like, oh my God, this is a perfect sales video. And I would have been like, Alex, come here. And I would have basically just had Alex come next to me and be like, hey, and just tell Alex Jones the story of martial law, and then reveal like, yep, I realize it was all bullshit. And this guy right next to me, he's full of shit. Do you know how good? Oh my God, that would have been the best freaking sales video ever.
Well, I'm sorry that didn't happen, but I do want to know something.
That's why we have AI now.
That's true. That's true. It writes your books. It writes your stories for your sales pitches.
You'll get me going on a rant about AI. It's
not, dude. It's not the truth. It's plagiarism, ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, I've used it once to come up with like an acronym for the book, but when people just want to flat out write everything, I'm like, dude, that's not fun.
Yeah, well, I think it's BS to people that like have uploaded books to Kindle that are, or the Amazon store, that are clearly all AI. I mean, it's just, and also people were doing it before. They were going to Fiverr and having people write books for them and then selling those for more. I imagine there's not a lot of money there. I mean, you said you made $1,000 total, maybe from probably like a pretty well-known hypnosis review webpage. So if that didn't really convert.
Well-known in a very small community.
Yes, exactly. So exactly.
You and me knew about it, basically.
Yes. Hey, I want that $1,000 back. But the interesting thing is Alex Jones, I'm confused by him. For the record, I mean, have you broken down what's going on there? He went to court, said he was an actor playing a role. But then all of a sudden, when he's back on Twitter, it doesn't really sound like he's given that up. I mean, was the court story a lie? Is this a lie? Is it still acting? Do you think he even believes all of it? Where are you at with him?
I think he might believe some of it. A lot of people think, oh, it's an act. I think he believes some of it because I was working a few years ago at the Hyatt here on Kauai, and this somehow we're talking, usually if somebody tells me they're from Austin, I usually start off going, oh yeah, you guys have a pretty crazy radio host out there. And people are like, who? But everybody knows it's Alex Jones by now. And
yeah,
he's like, yeah, I know it is. She was friends with a family. And this lady said, yeah, he's just crazy like that. And she was actually bringing up about how, I know he's having issues with his ex-wife. I think it's Kelly Jones, and she's become very vocal lately about him.
Yeah.
And I vaguely remember this lady telling me that there was concerns that he was radicalizing his son, but it sounds like his son is on the show. I don't know if it's still happening, but it sounds like he might have pulled his son into that. And I don't know if he does drugs, but there's been rumors that he maybe takes Adderall or something. I mean, that might make sense with how enraged he gets.
Yeah. I mean, there was some, look, when I started my conspiracy theory journey, I mean, he was the guy that broke into Bohemian Grove. That was the big thing with him. You know, I mean, I don't really know if he, for to dispel the meaning of that for conspiracy theorists out there, people holding on to that, like, what is that ritual? What is the Jekyll Island thing? Can you put some sense to it?
What do you mean? Say it again about the Bohemian Grove.
Jekyll Island. Yeah. Is it anything like what, you know, Alex Jones makes it seem like he's breaking into secret societies in the Illuminati.
So but I think this is the first time I've talked on this. Hopefully I don't end up dead the next day or two.
Hot.
So I think that could be a very real problem when you have big world leaders all congregating. But it's basically it's a club when we're not invited. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it's a big club. I don't think it might be as mischievous as people think it is. Have you ever heard? Somebody has a famous quote on it.
Is it George Carlin?
No.
That's what I was thinking. It's one big club.
No, it's
you're not in it.
I think it's Reagan. Oh, no, not Reagan. Who's the guy that got in trouble for Watergate?
Nixon.
Nixon. Yeah. Nixon. I think his quote was, it's a very homophobic quote. I can't remember what he said.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah. But if people look it up, I can't remember what he says. But he...
What's the gist?
I think he said it was the most... God, sorry for the language, folks. I think he said it was the most goddamn faggy thing he's seen. So that's as homophobic as you can get. I think it was Nixon
talking about these men. The everybody.
These men are just running around like kids in the Grove.
Interesting.
But then on the same token, I did improv the other day and I ran around like basically an adult having fun.
That is true. That's true.
But yeah, I remember Alex Jones breaking into it, and then I remember being so enthralled at him, like, oh my god, he's going against the elite. But honestly, if he was any threat, he would have killed him. Like this whole idea about the Illuminati and 2008, when I moved out here, I thought like I had this shift in my perspective. I can't remember exactly when it was, but I remember like asking myself, like, who cares if all this stuff is real? I don't care. I can't do anything about it. I think that's when my locus of control started to gradually, the needle started moving on, because I can't do anything about it.
So that incident with the movie was something, it planted a seed, but you think it wasn't a sudden snap out. It was a gradual, I'm waking up to that. That this is, it doesn't even matter. Is that how you transformed, or was there anything else there?
Gosh, you'd probably have somebody hypnotizing and try to remember everything. In the book, I talked about chapter 4 or 5. That's an embarrassing time of my life. And I, you know, the idea of hypnosis, there's NLP. They talk about generalizations, distortions, deletions. There was some embarrassing shit. I tried to like wipe that from my memory. I've gone through some old memories. I'm like, all this stuff is cringy as hell.
Did it really shake up your relationships with family and friends? What was it like broadly? I don't want you to relive the trauma here.
I'm start crying. No, you're going to make me cry over here. No, it's not bad. It's funny. I talked to my mom after the fact, and I thought that they were also buying. I think my dad might have started, as I got my dad into some of the stuff, I think he might have started buying it. But I talked to my mom recently. She's like, yeah, she's like, we were wondering when you're going to snap out of that stuff. It's such toxic thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I had a guy on this show recently that is actually doing the opposite of your book. He's trying to talk people into, he's trying to defend conspiracy theories. He's trying to calm people who are, start opening people up to the idea that there might be a conspiracy because his family ostracized him. I'm curious how you guys would get along. That would be an interesting discussion.
Put us on a podcast.
That would be interesting. I don't know if he'd debate. You might be the guy that needs to talk to this guy.
You know what, A good book. So the only reason I decided to write this book is I was on vacation on Oahu, the next island over, maybe a little over a year ago. And I remember thinking, like, wow, I'd like to have some kind of tool to help, like, de-radicalize people. And I thought about, ooh, like a Games Against, Cards Against Humanity, like some kind of games to help people maybe rethink their conspiracy theories. And then I found a book called, I found this book, How to Have Impossible Conversations.
Yes, I've seen that book. Yeah, they have there's like a great question in there about how to it's like getting people one step towards opening their mind. There's some interesting stuff there.
One question I really like in there, I included in my book, which I think it's this page. One question I really like in that book is, let's say if somebody has a particular belief, it's a scaling question. You can ask them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in the belief that X? How to use an example. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in the belief that aliens are running the planet? And somebody's like, oh, like a 7. Then you just, I think you're going to try going, oh, why didn't you choose a 9? Their defenses are lower. Then you ask them, why didn't you choose a lower number? Why didn't you choose like a 6 or a 5? Then they have to start justifying. Just to give another good question is, when did you start believing X? Which kind of imposed, like, you didn't always believe that. Like, something had to have happened for you to start believing that.
Tell me this. I mean, I know you offer sessions for helping people get out of conspiracy theory. Wait, do you help people get out of conspiracy theories?
No. I get them out of conspiracy theories, and then I get them into my own pyramid scheme. No.
That's a smart move.
If people want to do it, yes, but I think it's hard to target those people. I think target is maybe not a good word, because a lot of them think they're being targeted. They have that market to them. Well, yeah.
I've always thought you could use it against them. Like, you could use words like targeting. That's the thing. They're so vulnerable, conspiracy theorists, that I feel like you can. I feel like they're easily manipulatable in a way that, you know, I mean, I posed this to a guy that wrote a book against QAnon, and I said, look, why not just do a psyop from the left? Create another one.
Yes.
But, you know, like, why we should use this stuff against them. I don't know.
Did you hear that if you take a bath with Epsom salt and throw a crystal in there, you can detox the negative ingredients out of a vaccine, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Get them, you basically use that same paranoid thinking to get them to be like, oh yeah, you basically get somebody to vaccinate, be like, you know, just go take a bath, throw Epsom crystal up your ass, throw it in the water, and you can detox yourself.
Right. Oh yeah. Wasn't there a story with the vaccine? One of the football players, they were pretending that they had some doctor that was in on putting water in the vaccine shot, but he actually did put the vaccine in. So it was using the opportunity to be like, oh, we're going to pull one over against them.
Explain it. What happened?
Like, they were supposed to get the vaccine and they were all questioning the doctor. And then the doctor said, hey, look, I'm going to put water in these vaccine shots so nothing happens to you guys, because I don't think this is real either. But then he actually just injected them with the vaccine.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, there's some story like that. It may not have it exactly right, but there's some incident that definitely happened that way. That's the thing. These guys are vulnerable. I was reading an interesting advice. I mean, look, I'm giving away a secret here that I've been thinking about. But you know how you can make political bets on everything now? Find where conspiracy theories are betting. Find where the conspiracy theorists are betting online, because chances are there's a majority of people that believe something's going to go one way and it's not. It just, yeah, they're so faithful. It just doesn't ever happen.
But you know why is, I think they have more power than they do. I came across a study. The second book is going to be Coping with Conspiracy Theorists, more of like a self-care guide. It should be published by now, but I've been slacking on it. Chapter 12 or 13, whatever the chapter is on narcissism, there's a study showing that there's four traits that cause conspiracy theorists to be attracted to conspiracy theories. It causes narcissists to be attracted to conspiracy theories. One is the underlying paranoia, obviously. Two is the need to feel unique. A lot of narcissists want to feel unique, want to feel like, I have this power that you don't know about. Third one is, I think it's like being, I think it's like antagonistic. I forget we think about like Sandy Hook, they're freaking cruel to people. And the fourth one, which I absolutely love, is gullibility. How many conspiracy theorists are gullible as hell?
Yeah, right.
And how many narcissists are gullible as hell? Because they think like, I'm too smart, you can't fool me.
Yes.
You lower your sensor, you lower your defenses get lowered, then you get fooled. And then it's almost like a pyramid scheme. Anytime that somebody's been bit by a pyramid scheme, they don't want to feel like the only schmuck. So they invite other people into the pyramid scheme.
Totally.
It's like, listen, I'm not the only schmuck. Let me get some other people below me.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, okay, so before we get into the more of the nuances of converting conspiracy theorists, let me poke some holes around to figure out what's going on. Is there ever a case where this type of thinking is positive? What might that be?
What might that be?
Because I know we've heard before, right? Like, look at
the Tuskegee Airmen. You know the Tuskegee experiments. So that could be one element. I guess if a government goes unchecked to kind of question it, ask me again. Let me think of that.
Yeah, because I mean, look, Tuskegee is a great example. I mean, I think people cite that a lot when they go, this is something the government hides. They say, oh, the government absolutely is hiding stuff. They've revealed later that they're doing stuff. I mean, I even think I'd go so far as to say that MK Ultra, which people say is a conspiracy, it's still a messed up thing that they did. So, I mean, why shouldn't we believe that they're doing shady stuff and secret still? And at a certain point, I guess I think it's fun to guess when it might be. I'm not going around saying this is what they're doing. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that the government actually has done some really, really nasty and strange things. Yeah. So where do you draw the line?
Oh, that's a good one. Where would I draw the line? When it's fun to look at the stuff, like UFOs, these are fun.
Yeah,
Bigfoot's fun. But then when it starts getting to the point where it's putting real lives at risk, like you're talking about, like trying to paint trans people as pedophiles, as groomers, Jews as eating babies. That's where I draw the line.
Now, did that happen for, did you ever go that far in your personal beliefs or
in what?
And did you ever, you know, believe that there were actually looking at people in a way that like was there an Antonio Perez that at one point would have pointed to liberals and been like, all these guys are pedophiles and evil and disgusting?
I don't think so. Because I think I was following Alex, so this is interesting. That's a good point. Alex Jones, 2001 to like 2007, is, I think his angle it wasn't the Democrats or the Republicans. It's the establishment. He framed it as 9/11's an inside job, but then when the brown people came in, when Obama came into office, all of a sudden it switched to it's the Muslim Brotherhood.
Interesting. Yes, I vaguely remember that.
If you remember, the Jews for thousands of years have been the scapegoat of conspiracy theories. And then I think Muslims came around, and especially having a Muslim in office. Jesus, Obama wasn't a Muslim.
Having someone that was accused regularly in a very pejorative way for no reason, because why hate on Muslims? But yes, regularly said or alleged to be a secret Muslim, I would say is a fair way of putting it.
And it took blame off the Jews for a while. So let me see if I was going with this. So it went from Alex Jones was, it's not the right or the left.
The establishment.
It's not the right or the left. You know, the argument, libertarians always say it. Oh, I'm not Republican. Have you ever heard the argument? Like, I'm not a Republican. They're both parties are the same thing. Bullshit.
Yeah. Right.
Both parties are not the same thing. And there's the idea of like, oh, it's the same. It's a different wing of the same bird.
Yeah.
So I think that's the angle he was coming from.
And so then, were you there with him? Did you question Obama at all? Or?
Oh, yeah. I definitely did. To a degree, but I never had any kind of racist undertones with it. Well, at least not that I knew of consciously. But a lot of this stuff, it just embedded it subconsciously. I remember being Mexican. I remember hearing Alex Jones talk about immigrants, and I fell into that same bullshit. Like, oh, they need to come here legally. I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. It went from Alex Jones went from it's not the right or the left. He always framed it as the New World Order. It's the new world order. It's the Illuminati.
And then now they say the cabal. They love the cabal, which has anti-Semitic roots. But yes, the cabal is the big one.
I love that. And the people are like, I'm not anti-Semitic. It's a Hollywood elite. I'm like, you're fucking saying the Jews. I don't know if you can cuss on this, but when you say the Hollywood elite, you're saying the Jews.
Yes, right.
This whistle I have right here, playing my hand, it's a racist dog whistle.
That's good to have. We should have that. I guess. Okay. So, I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot with some of these questions, but I am kind of curious what was your thing at parties, man? Did you have a thing back then when you were you the 9/11 conspiracy guy? Were you Pizzagate? Yeah. I know came later, but
Pizzagate. So I never really felt. Oh, no. I did fall into some elements of that.
Like, were you talking about World Trade Center Building 7 a lot?
World Trade Center 7, Jesus. I could repeat all of my stuff.
God, what's the answer to that? Why did World Trade Center 7 fall?
Jewish space lasers. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
That would be hilarious if your book was converting people out of conspiracies, but it was just your version of what the conspiracy is, correct?
Yeah.
Like, it was just as bad. Interesting. Yeah.
No, what was I gonna say? There's actually a if you look up World Trade's Trade Center?
World Trade Center Building 7.
Building 7. Look at the back. It sounds like the backside. It sounds like there was a lot of damage. They never show you the front side of the building. It sounds like it had been damaged from the backside that they don't tell you about.
So it went down. I mean, it's weird. You look at that footage and it looks like the way the other towers went down.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But again, it could just be a construction thing that day. That just also happened to be a World Trade Center the same day that these two towers.
I like the argument when they're like, no, no steel. What's the argument they have? No steel melts at whatever. What's the argument? The steel has to get so hot to melt.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think the argument is no building made of steel has ever fallen, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but it was also hit by how many freaking tons of material?
Right.
That can weaken the joints.
Yeah. What do you make of the Pentagon not having a lot of footage of the Pentagon crash?
that I think it might be an issue of, well, national security, and just being just secrecy, just overall. Interesting.
Do you think they actually went in and went around to, you know, local gas stations and grabbed the footage for? I mean, that's what all these loose change, all these documentaries were talking about.
There was talks of that. But here's the
Zeitgeist, all this stuff.
You would need so many boots on the ground to control the narrative. It'd be impossible to control the narrative. You would need so many moving parts to keep people from shutting up, or for you to keep people shut up, keep them from like running their mouths.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Well, I mean, I do think the government coordinating this is just, it's insane. I mean, it would be very hard. But okay, that's interesting. So you're the 9/11 guy at the parties.
Yeah, does it was 9/11, and then I watched this, if you look up this movie, Conspiracy of Silence. It was a movie about and I'm pretty sure that was debunked as well. They and a lot of this stuff, like if this stuff had really happened, I don't think those movies would have been made in the first place. And then another theory, people say Epstein didn't kill himself, which I like to maybe I take a hard line all the way opposite of conspiracy theories, because it serves me mentally to not go back down that route.
But that's interesting.
Yeah, it serves me to stay away from that. If you think about it, the lady that was trafficked, that Epstein trafficked, was it Virginia Guaffrey, I think her name
is? Yeah.
How the hell is she still alive? If she blew the case wide open, how come they haven't whacked her? I thought about that. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, if these were elite were as powerful as they say, they would have whacked her by now.
Yes. So wait a minute. Let's hear the definitive statement here. The guards aren't there. The camera's not active. He takes a bed sheet. He hangs himself. Did it go down as they described? Or is there any funny business?
Let's say there's some funny business. It might be somebody goes, can I swear?
Dude, it wouldn't be the first time.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
You might be like, look at this fucking pedophile. Fuck him. And let some prison guards, let prisoners go to him and kill him.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, honestly, if you're a pedophile in prison, that's the worst. Everybody knows that's the worst thing. And you're going to get killed. I mean, he might have honestly killed himself knowing, like, hey, if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. It's either, quote unquote, the elite, somebody that hates pedophiles, which is 99% of the population, or I kill myself.
Can you kill yourself with a bed sheet, you think?
I haven't thought of that. I would imagine so.
Yeah. I know that's one of the criticisms or the conspiracy angle on it. But also, you know, the conspiracy theorists...
I look at it this way. Who cares? A pedophile's dead. Let's say he's really dead. Fuck him. Who cares? Sorry, you might have to edit the cuss out, but...
No, but what I would say to you is that, you know, I think Alex Jones and David Icke and a lot of these people looked at Jeffrey Epstein as a huge validation point. They said, hey, look, we were telling you about this guy for a long time. People weren't paying attention. And it turns out it was real. So you probably should start believing the conspiracy theorists. Why is that kind of thinking wrong?
Oh, so say it again.
Why is that right now? I think a lot of I see it all the time, Antonio. I mean, I see it all the time on Facebook, especially people that say these things like, the conspiracy theorists, finally people are following us for the truth. First it was the New York Times, now it's the conspiracy theorists, because everything we've been saying is turning out right. And Epstein is a great example of something that I think was counted in the conspiracy. If we're keeping tallies, conspiracy theorists grabbed Epstein and said, yeah, we told you about this guy and look how he died. Is it that weird? Therefore, but we are correct.
Did they I don't know if they really talked about it. I mean, people knew about Epstein for a while. Like,
so you think they just kind of jumped on the band? Yeah, that might be true. They jumped on a bandwagon. It wasn't too public a story, but they may have heard something and they just, as conspiracy theorists do, they hear one little thing and blow it up.
And then here's another thing. So Epstein, wasn't he first charged in like 2009? He first got busted in like 2009. So, and that was public information. Any so-called elite. So when did he die? Was it 21? Supposedly he died in what? 21, right? I think
2019 or was it 2020? Yeah, I don't know.
2021. I could be wrong. Let's see. When was Epstein not killed?
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, is it 2019
already? I nailed it. Boom, boom. Yes. Yeah, no, I thought so. I thought it was a pre-COVID thing because I remember a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah.
During the QAnon, you know, people went nuts with it.
Yeah. So it took them 10. So the so-called elite, it took them 10 years to kill him. If he was busted in 2019, if he was really as big of a threat as everybody thinks, they would have whacked him way before then. I don't care what anybody says. In my opinion, in my belief, in my conspiracy theory, somebody, if they had a power to whack him, they would have whacked him far before he had a chance for all this information to come out. Does that make sense?
Right. I mean, the blackmail operation. Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's true. Yeah, wouldn't the Clintons have taken him out earlier?
Oh, God, I love this idea of the Clintons, the body count. You've heard that one, right? The suicide. Oh, yes. So that was caught. A lawyer started that. I forget her name was. It was a lawyer, some female lawyer, is the one that started that conspiracy theory. And
Ann Coulter was big on it.
Was she?
Yeah.
That lady's a freaking nut job. And I like how people are. They're claiming that Clintons have all this power to suicide people. All of her, like her big opponents. I'm like, wait, she didn't go after, what about all of Bill Clinton's accusers?
Yeah.
Obama was her opponent. Trump was her opponent. How come they're not going after these? But I like when if you ask people that, like, oh, they don't want to make it too obvious. I'm like, it's just obvious enough to you. You're enlightened, but not, I don't get it.
Well, that's the thing with all these conspiracy theories. There's a lot of, they play logical tricks and there's mental gymnastics that they go through. Where's the evidence of that? Well, there wouldn't be any evidence of something like that, would there? I mean, how can you ever win with
lack of
like
evidence
that
proves it to them?
Yes. Okay. So tell me this, and you're converting conspiracy theorists. How do you get over that hump? Are you able to?
I don't know. Cause let me be, because this book, basically I've got to the point, I'm like, I just want to start writing books. I want to do it for years. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
So a lot of this is, theory. It's theory from how I think it would have affected me.
Interesting.
So if anybody gets this book, I've used some elements to slightly shift some people's perspective. So, use some of the stuff with a grain of salt. If you're getting pushback from a loved one or something, and if, you know, a conspiracy theorist can get really violent, don't put yourself in a bad situation. But that's funny. The first draft of the book, I wanted to add a section on logical fallacies. And I might actually, if I revise this book, I might add a section on logical fallacies. I know there are ways to deal with logical fallacies. I wonder if like the sleight of mouth would work NLP, but that might be a little convoluted for most people.
Yeah.
But asking people for evidence is it's a exercise in futility.
So you're telling me that this book, even though it is grounded in a lot of persuasion principles, NLP, hypnosis, you know, it's grounded in the hypnosis experience and hypnotherapy work you've done, it's still a theoretical framework.
Yes.
Interesting. Do you believe it could work, or is that truly just a hypothesis that you're waiting for people to tell you?
Yeah, I'm waiting for people to be like, oh, it worked. No, I think it could work. with the right conditions. I guess that's like Darren Brown, that's able to cause people to go want to rob a bank. He's got the perfect situation. And you being a magician, a lot of people are like, oh, look, Darren Brown's using magic and NLP. I'm like, nah, or he's using magic to fool you into what he's really doing.
He is. But I guess, you know, if this goes back to a crucial argument that I've always found interesting in it. And I mean, look, I'm going to name a name, because even if we talk crap about him, he'll like that we named him Jonathan Royal, who I've had on this show. Yeah. Yeah. But that's a character, man.
I love you, Jonathan.
Jonathan is, I'm a fan of a rabble rouser, even though, yes, we know he can piss a lot of people off, but I've always, putting aside the you know, theatrics, his point is that he doesn't think NLP is anything special. Ultimately, he doesn't think hypnosis is anything special beyond the ritual, which also hypnotists say, but like he paints it in a much more dismissive light. And he says, no, you won't get results unless they actually want to change. No matter what, that's the secret to it all. They really have to want to change. It's something that I've asked publicly to hypnotists before, even asked them, can you covertly get someone to want to change? And I've never really even seen, it doesn't even seem like that's the case. Most hypnotherapist training, they go, no, well, they have to reach, I mean, Mike Mandel calls it threshold. Threshold for change. Do you agree with that in your experience with all the hypnosis training you've done?
I think so. And with that being said, have you ever heard of motivational interviewing?
No. What is that?
Motivational interviewing, it's a tool that a lot of therapists will use. It's used to help. I think they developed to help alcoholics. Motivational interviewing is about if somebody's ambivalent about a choice or a change I want to make. Motivational interviewing, there's certain questions and certain tactics where you can help them to kind of connect with the motivation on the inside. There's a good book, Instant Influence. Mike Mandel mentions it on his website. If you look up Instant Influence, Mike Mandel.
So I was going to say that question from the Peter Singer book. Was that Peter Singer? Impossible.
I messed it up. Peter Bogosian.
I'm messing up my Peters. No, that question you asked about the number, the ranking of the number, isn't that instant influency?
No, that's how to have impossible conversations.
Oh, I thought the Pantalon technique was the.
But they both use really similar.
Yeah, it's a similar thing from what I recall.
Pantalone, that's the his work was based off of motivational interviewing.
Got it.
It's a very condensed version, but I even mentioned that in the book. Let's say if you have somebody that's interested in maybe talking to a therapist, you can ask them you can basically tell them with Pantalone's instant influence, you tell them like, hey, I can't make this choice for you. You don't have to do therapy. This is completely up to you to decide. And that gives them, they feel like they're in control.
Autonomy.
Yeah, they got their own autonomy. And then you ask them, if you were to do therapy, why might you want to do it? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Then you ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? Where's your motivation? Whatever number they give you, you just ask them, why didn't you choose a lower number? So they have to justify. A brilliant technique.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. So you've said you've opened some minds up. I mean, are there conspiracy theorists around that I know you're in Hawaii, so people are coming to you with the Maui fires, stuff like that. Did you try any of the stuff in the book out on people?
I almost did today with somebody. They were asking me about specific elements. Like, oh, what about the thousands of kids? I'm like, listen, there's that theory that thousands of kids went missing. And I told them, like, listen, if there was thousands of kids missing, locals here would not be quiet about that. It's just kids. Nobody's going to be quiet about it. So that one, I'm like, I don't know if they changed their mind, but at least hopefully I can plant like a seed.
Yeah. And,
it was funny. At one point, pull up an article. Oh, then they asked about like, oh, why was the water shut off? I'm like, easy. It's from what I know is it's private water in Maui. Peter Martin, really crooked guy. He's a libertarian, go figure, that controls the water. And they, I think they thought like, oh, it's intentionally done. I'm like, no, this rich asshole controls the water. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And there's been fires for years. The water's been diverted for years. They're diverting it for resorts, hotels, etc. And then they didn't take any of the warnings seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like there are rational explanations for a lot of these things. So I'm curious if your book and your approach, I mean, from what I've seen in the world, and we know this from the world of influence and persuasion, rational, logical argument does not work with conspiracy theorists. It just, you could tell them, okay, then QAnon, why didn't this happen on all the dates they said it would? They kept saying all these things. Why did none of the stuff come to, like, you could keep doing that and it just doesn't work. So, I mean, I'm sure that, is there a bet for people listening out there that are like, okay, well, at the very least, I need to open up my
mind. You need to out-crazy them.
You need to out-crazy them? Explain.
Let's see.
And, you might be onto something there. I think it's kind of what we were talking about earlier. What
chapter did I mention? Oh, yeah, chapter 10, I talk about questions. Let's see.
Do you have a chapter on how to out-crazy them?
A little bit, yeah. Let's see, what's this?
Awesome.
Oh, let me see if this is one of it. I have this thing. Has it ever occurred to you? I think I got that question from Jamie Smart. He had some cards back in the day.
Yes.
And then it has it ever occurred to you? I put like, has it ever occurred to you that the government is too stupid, is too inept and stupid to pull off a widespread conspiracy theory such as blah 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 blah. A lot of conspiracy theorists want to think the government, oh, they're inept, they can't do anything.
Right.
Oh yeah, this one. It says, has it ever occurred to you that foreign governments might be spreading vaccine misinformation on social media to weaken our country from within?
Hmm.
Because a lot of them aren't going to trust foreign governments, so play into that.
Right. Or it's playing into the existing beliefs. It's pacing and leading. You're starting with where they are.
Yeah.
And then building off of it into something different.
Has it ever occurred to you that Alex Jones might be a CIA agent? Because a lot of people already believe that.
Right. No, that's a very good way to do it. It's like a on-the-spot confusion induction that maybe it doesn't immediately get the change, but because you've disrupted the pattern, you're starting to at least... Yeah, as you suggest in the beginning of the book, and Richard Ballstad, who is an amazing NLP trainer and practitioner, Richard Nongard, who is like, I mean, this guy is the hypnosis authority out there in the world. They've written forwards to this. They've praised this book. I mean, they're absolutely right that those are strategies that'll, at the very least, get people to open their minds.
One thing I thought about is, meditation can definitely help those people, but it would have to be no kind of woo-woo meditation. I think a woo-woo meditation would be like the complete opposite of what they need. They would need stuff, in my opinion, more mindfulness-based stuff, maybe to kind of slow down the rampant thoughts.
Are you very are you very scientific oriented, rationalist, no spiritual beliefs?
No, I'm spiritual. I like to be as science-minded as possible. That being said, have you ever heard of core transformation?
Yeah, the Stephen Conyandre, well, Conyandreas thing.
Yeah, has given me the best results out of any technique on the planet.
Wow, I haven't really studied it as much thoroughly. Like, I need to do a proper deep dive to it, well, but I know
It's parts. You just connect with a part and just ask that part, like, oh, what do you want? It wants to keep you safe. Then you keep chunking it until it gets to like a place of like oneness, beingness,
right,
etc.
Kind of a cool idea. It's like she reverse engineered, modeled like cathartic spiritual experiences, nirvana states, ecstatic, but yeah, and is teaching people how to do it. Like, it's kind of cool.
Have you ever done psychedelics?
I have never done them. very curious about them. Talked to a lot of people on the show about them.
You need to do a whole bunch of maybe go into it slow. But for me, it almost created like a feeling of like how psychedelics have that kind of oneness aspect to them.
Yeah,
but that's kind of cool. I wanted to go back on the idea that if you can find a way to encourage a conspiracy theorist to meditate, that might be a good way to start breaking them out of those thought patterns. I mean, I was trying to think of a way to do it. If you can convince them like you need to strengthen your mind so the deep state cannot influence you.
You are doing this is a psyop against conspiracy. This book is teaching you how to run a psychological operation.
Bro, people told me like, oh, you must be getting paid. I'm like, really? Like, so far I've probably made $30 on the book. I've made $200, but I can make way more money. I can make way more money doing what Alex Jones does by using
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, everybody should. You can go to Antonio's website, escapingtherabbithole.com, where you can subscribe to his podcast about that. That's the title of the podcast, Escaping the Rabbit Hole, as well as to get the podcast. If you sign up from the website, you'll get the first 3 chapters of his book free. So that is a very good thing. I mean, hopefully we can start to get more people buying this book. But yeah, we'll definitely link to it for people out there. Yeah, man, I know it's not sexy. It's not the fun thing to do, bust conspiracy theories. It's so much more fun to do the other side.
Well, it would be sexy if it was like a Jack Reacher kind of thing, if I was able to go in and interrogate people, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, and I don't even know how you, I mean, I theoretically, the idea of bringing on a bunch of conspiracy theorists with you and having you debate them is fun, but at a certain point, just it feels like nobody wins. No one wins. Yeah. It doesn't really go anywhere. It's I don't know, man. I've never really seen the format work. Because it's two different ways of being, two different belief systems, two different, it's the cognitive dissonance. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you think we can, we've got a problem in this country. We have a big problem, yeah. Especially in this country and the world, but that there are certain people out there that really buy into conspiratorial thinking. Obviously,
if you can break somebody out of like narcissistic tendencies, which is probably hard. Or if you could get, well, let's just assume that a lot of conspiracy theorists are narcissists. If you can give them something else that gives them that importance, that's way better. Like,
yeah,
parts therapy. If you can give them something that so they feel they have meaning in their life, that'll make them far better.
You know, that was that's one of the things that at least, I mean, look, I do have conspiracy theorists on this podcast. So that's part of the goal of this is to bring all different angles and challenge existing beliefs from all different sides. So, you know, if somebody comes on next week and wants to challenge you and talk about why this whole episode is wrong, I'm open to that, too. Yeah. But that said, one of the things that let me go to the kind of anti-conspiracy angle, at least in terms of spending too much time in it, is I saw some tweet that was like, every conspiracy theorist I know is living in their mom's basement, not making any money.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's kind of where's the money in this? There's no, but you could feel like you're doing something, reading these articles, watching these videos, and it just doesn't lead to anywhere useful.
Yeah. I saw a great meme that said conspiracy theorists have never been project managers and it shows.
Yes. That's very true. That said, though, UFOs, do you believe in them? You believe they could be aliens?
I believe in UFOs because it's a big universe. But then on the same token, where did I hear this thing about, you know, they talk about they have these people have this idea that UFOs have this awesome technology to fly all across the universe, but then they crash here. What the hell? they can fly everywhere, but they just happen to crash here.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's a very good point. Yeah. What, ever go into like the secret space program? Any of that stuff? Nazis in Antarctica?
No, that I think for me, I'm like, nah, that sounds like bullshit. Like for me, I never really went into it. One thing that
I wanted to hear quickly your thoughts on Huna before we go.
I'll go there in just a second.
I know that's a whole other episode, but briefly, at least let's tease people.
We'll jump into that real quick. I was going to say with the anti-Semitic stuff, the reason I got into it was there was a guy, I think his name is David Cole, Jewish guy that I look him up. I think he's a Republican now. I think he campaigned for Trump. So back in like 96, 95, around that time, a Jewish guy had gone to the camps and basically said it was all bullshit. So I think he's as my justification, like, look, I'm not anti-Semitic. This Jewish guy said it's bullshit. Ends up, he was completely full of garbage.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, it seems like you're, at the very least, you've come up to a more compassionate side of things in the world.
For the most part.
Right. With a healthy amount of cynicism. But that said, one of the other things the Huna thing, what is going on? You were one of the first people I ever saw publicly
calling
that crapped on Huna. And I was taking all these hypnosis courses and NLP things, and people would mention it. It's Huna and
Ho'oponopono. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for people listening, Huna, so the Hawaiian word kahuna, K-A-H-U-N-A, is kahuna is basically like a teacher of some sort, an expert of some sort. You can have kahuna in medicine, herbal medicine, making boats, all kind of stuff from my limited knowledge. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think the correct etymology, how the word is broken down, I could be wrong. It should be kahu, K-A-H-U, and na. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, Huna is not ancient. A lot of people are trying to claim that Huna is ancient Hawaiian philosophy, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I live in Hawaii. You don't hear any Hawaiians talking about it. It's only white. Right. If it's only white people talking about it, should be a clue.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so rampant throughout the spiritual community. They really think it's a thing. Joe Vitale. I mean,
you know why? Because he makes money.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And you know, if you heard of Dr. Hugh Len?
No. Who's he?
H-E-W-L-E-N. He's the guy in Hawaii that supposedly like cured all the criminal insane people at a state hospital out here with the power of Huna, saying I love you, thank you, blah blah blah, whatever. There was no record of him ever being at that hospital.
Oh my gosh.
It's basically a big marketing shtick. And hey, don't get me wrong, if doing a visualization and then looking at somebody and saying, hey, what do they say, I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, or whatever. If it helps you, it helps you. But don't call it Huna.
Yeah. Yeah, who made don't that? Did the guy make it up? The guy that created Huna just come up with it? Or is that actually a practice from somewhere?
No. I know Ho'oponopono was always like a practice of reconciliation. If families are having issues, reconciliate. And there was a lady, I think her name was Simona Morna. I'm probably butchering the name. It sounds like she created her own version of Ho'oponopono. She's local. Mm-hmm. I think she created her own version. And I think she makes some of her Christian background in it. If you want, I have some people that I can introduce you to that are born and raised here that can. One of the best guys to talk to is Adam Keave. I forget his name. I'm going to Hawaiian practitioner. He can basically, I'm going to tag you in one of his posts. You're going to see how he calls it out.
It's man.
Classic shamanism.
Yeah. Fascinating. Okay. So look, you've shed a lot of light today. This has been very, very fun. I mean, look, I could definitely talk to you for that. That's a good sign of an interview. We could go on for a lot longer.
You might have to do it.
Exactly. I mean, very entertaining. Escapingtherabbithole.com. The book is Converting conspiracy theorists, rescue anyone from dangerous and destructive conspiracy theories. Yes, I'm sure some people who are listening to the show might even be pissed that I had you on. But you know what? If you're so open-minded, as a conspiracy theory says you are, then you'll listen to this guy's perspective too,
yeah,
right?
People, they act like I'm the so other open-minded. Thing. Yeah, it is what it is. But hey, if I don't convert anybody, I don't care.
That's the other piece that I love. It's but you know what? I think it's a worthy effort and a worthy exercise, and I appreciate that you're out there doing it. Antonio, thank you so much again for coming on the show. This has been very fun.
Thank you. Hopefully the Illuminati overlords won't kill me after the show.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll make sure of it. Antonio Perez was laid to rest January 31st, 2000. No, that's not true. Though it is weird that I said, I'll make sure of it at the end of the show. I think my head is outgrowing this tinfoil derby I have. The telepathic messages are getting through. This is that Neuralink stuff, isn't it? Antonio's very much alive. He's a very great guest. I want to thank him for coming on. I want to thank Zero Boy for the pre-theme music. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank you for listening. I'm sure next week we'll have another conspiracy theorist. Talk soon. Mm-hmm.